do The Weeknd, but not The Weeknd from the Super Bowl. Let's do SZA's The Weeknd.
SZA. SZA. Look at this is how out of tune I am with music. How do you spell SZA?
No, I got it right here.
S-Z-A. Because that's our song for our Saturday show, which I just said. Yeah.
Here we go. The head nod. What's up, Colleen?
Hey, Colleen.
What's up?
We're doing good. How are you?
Good. Look at your background. Wow. I like the palm trees.
Where are you?
I am in the same place that I do the shows from on the weekend, and this is the background that they gave me. It's like giant monitor, and then there's this like soundproofing all over the walls and shit, so I tried to line this up so you could really see it.
I love it.
I'm at my house.
Right, your studio.
Some pancakes, yeah.
I love it. Colleen, we first want to thank you for coming on. We want to thank you for the background of pancakes. We want to thank you for. I'm actually going.
I made
down.
Them for you.
I'm taking.
I'm getting hungry.
I'm taking the Syriana approach.
Oh yeah. Uh oh.
What do you think of that?
It was really interesting. It had some serious Adam Gase vibes going on that I got from it, which I wasn't like super pumped about. And part of me honestly felt bad for him because I actually used to dread speaking in front of anybody, hated it, was awful. Like in high school, I would stutter, I would get super nervous, my heart would pound, I wouldn't be able to, like, it was terrible. Whenever the teacher called on me, everyone was like, oh my God, not Colleen again. I felt for him because I feel like, you know, public speaking isn't necessarily an indicator of your intelligence. But also, it was like a really rough spot for him. And all I could think of was, oh my God, he's going to get eaten alive.
From the Philly fans, right?
I know. That's the thing. It's like, that's not a great first impression, especially if you're trying to impress anyone from Philly. It's just not going to go far.
It's not going to fly.
I know. So,
Big Ben, are you going to give Colleen your big pep talk? You've been working all week.
I did. What? But I had a pep talk.
Come on. I want to hear it. I need to be
so this. This was the thing. I was thinking about this. I'm a big fan of The Office.
Okay.
And if you've ever seen Michael Scott, he's like an analogy guy.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him. So the analogy I'd like to give. So Colleen, you have your day in, day out type of stuff. And it's like a 6-course meal where you come in and you have to do your podcast and you have to do your NFL Good Morning. And, you know, it's like you can't be yourself sometimes. Uh-huh. So here's what I want you to think about this podcast, the 30 to 45 minutes we have together.
Okay.
It's like you're back at Drexel and you just walked into a party where people are beer bonging on the fire escape, taking shots of Fireball and maybe some recreational drugs in the bathroom.
This feels like, I feel like I'm dating myself, but like Fireball wasn't a thing.
Jägermeister?
Yeah. Ew. Oh my God. That's the second time today that someone has brought up Jaeger to me. Like I even just saying it, I want to like start dry heaving because it's like Jaeger bombs.
It's
and then
horrible.
That like 2 a.m. Red Bull aftermath. Is
how about a pickleback?
Horrendous. Yeah.
So Colleen, you never got into that. So Big Ben and I met in New York in 2010. And that's when like the pickleback craze was going off.
Really?
And I was like, I'm from California. I have no idea what winter is and what a pickleback is.
Oh my God, you were in for a rude awakening.
I was.
So,
yeah, never did that.
Colleen, it says live up there, but we aren't live. So you can cuss.
Oh, okay.
And cool. We'll edit it out.
It got me nervous at first because I was cursing and then I was like, oh no, it says live. No,
curse, no. You can speak derogatory about anyone within Philadelphia. We'll edit it out.
Wow.
So, you have some fun.
All right. Yeah. Cool. So wait, are we starting now or did we already sort of start and this is a trap?
No, so we're starting now.
It's a trap.
No trap. And when Big Ben told me we were talking to you on Saturday, I thought you were bringing us on Good Morning Football.
Oh,
I thought we were co-hosting with you.
What a missed opportunity.
I was going to be Garofalo.
Well, do you have hair? Let's start there.
It's gray.
You have way too much hair. You're out.
Yes! I'm like T-Hall.
You guys, this is a great setup. I love it. You are. Whenever they turn the music on and they're always like, all right, start dancing. And I'm like, it's sort of weird for me to dance. It's like 6 a.m. in LA when the show starts and I'm by myself in a room and it's just like a machine in front of me that I'm staring at. And I'm like, it's just like not a good environment conducive to just like dancing and vibing. That's something I got to work on. That's my 2021 goal.
To improve your dancing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as arcades open up, we'll see you on Dance Dance Revolution, all that stuff.
Probably. I mean, that is, I'm putting it out into the universe, so I'm expecting to get some stuff back here.
Okay.
All right. Well, before you're announcing this on WST, we're going to hold you to that New Year's resolution.
It's breaking news. He knows that. I haven't told anyone. Actually, maybe not even myself. So we're all finding out together.
All right, Kay Wynn, what do we want to kick off? Super Bowl 55?
Super Bowl 55. 8 days till Super Bowl. Call in.
I love it.
What are you most excited about with this matchup?
Man, well, first of all, it's a really good matchup, despite Tom Brady being in it. No, listen, like Tom Brady being in it, I feel like such a Tom Brady hater because I am, and it sucks that I can't exercise it out of me. I need like a priest to come over to the house and perform some type of exorcism, Tom Brady exorcism. I don't know. And we actually talked about this on our show today because I know that I'm guilty of Tom Brady fatigue. And I feel like in a way it's really unfair because I think that when we look back, it's going to be like, I can't believe that we watched all of those games and hated on him so much. But also, like, this is a guy who has had so much success. And how do you in real time sort of evaluate and contextualize someone who is historic? Like, it's really, really difficult. So it is exciting. I think that he's back and he's playing in a 10th Super Bowl. I mean, that's like double like what John Elway was ever played in. It's wild. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm like, okay, let's think about some of the other, because I like an underdog and there's not really any, I feel like, in this game. So I'm like, all right, let's think Bruce Arians. This is his first Super Bowl. Guys like Mike Evans, guys mm-hmm. like Chris Godwin, Levante David, who never, ever, ever gets the shine that he deserves because the Bucs are never playing in big primetime games until this year. And now everyone's like, oh my God, that Levante David kid is real good. and he's been playing for a really long time. So I kind of think about it like that. Most of the team hasn't been there before, but Brady and Gronk just get all of the attention.
Mike Evans didn't even know how to celebrate after winning the conference. He like headed to the locker room. Oh,
it was adorable.
Wasn't it? I was like, oh, Mike.
It was so cute. I loved that. And so that to me is really endearing about this Bucks team. And I know I'm super cynical. And so part of me is so, so sick already of talking about the Bucks being the first team to play at home in the Super Bowl. But that's pretty ridiculously cool too.
Yeah.
Like I can't imagine going through all of the things that, you know, normally have to happen during a normal Super Bowl week. And this isn't even a normal one. With the pandemic, there's going to be nowhere near the number of distractions that normal teams would have to go through during Super Bowl week. No, like no real media day, just all of those extra commitments that the teams and players and coaches and stuff have to go through, like the charade of it all. They don't have to do that. And also they're at home. So they know where everything is. Their routine is there. And for athletes, they love routines, I hear. I hate a routine. It makes me bored. It makes me like, I just get like, you know, I like new things. I need to be kind of in different environments and stuff because I have ADD. So it's just really cool, I think, though, that they're playing from home or playing at home in Tampa.
I feel like Tom Brady knew SoFi wasn't going to be able to host the Super Bowl. And he's like, where is it going to be? Potentially Tampa, Arians. I feel like he's playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers. Like
he truly is. I love the fact that the Chiefs are back. And
right back.
I feel like run it back. That was the whole thing all season long. And it felt like all season long, it was just the shoo-in. They were going to be there from the AFC. And it didn't really feel like anyone else had a shot. I love the Bills. I loved them this past season. They were so fun. It was so awesome to root for them. And yeah, if they got to the Super Bowl, that would have been bananas. And if it was the Bills against Tom Brady, it would be like, oh my God, what? They have no shot. Like, I think that the Chiefs being back, just all the different connections. You have Andy Reid against Todd Bowles on the other side for the DC for the Bucks. You have so many different like revenge angles, which I love. So it's like Steve Spagnuolo. He already beat Brady once with the Giants Super Bowl. And Andy Reid, when you go back and you think about some of the most painful losses in Andy Reid's career as a head coach, being from Philly, I automatically think of two games really stand out to me when he was the Eagles head coach. The Super Bowl loss to the Patriots and Tom Brady, especially because they had lost three straight NFC title games heading into that Super Bowl before they finally got there. And then the other game, it was the 0-2 Bucks title game loss, where that, you know, last game at the Vet, it was so cold. The Bucks weren't supposed to win. Rondé Barber. I mean, it was just those two games. And you just think to yourself, Andy Reid, maybe he's going to exact double revenge here.
Well, 2018, you got your revenge on Tom Brady. You're an Eagles fan, right?
Me, I did it.
You did.
Yeah, I did. That was that.
Where
was
were you for that Super Bowl?
I was there. Which is so actually, I have multiple things in reach. I have confetti from the field there.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And I also home is where the John is. And I also have my Super Bowl ticket still. Wow. I really got to do something with this,
put it
in a frame or something cool. But right now it's just in a coffee mug. Yeah, I was at the game. It was so cool to be able to not only just cover them and talk about them all season long, because it felt like all season long, well, at some point the wheels are going to come off and, you know, everything's going to come crumbling down. And I thought when Carson Wentz got hurt in LA, that was going to be it. And I was like, it finally happened. At least it happened. And now, like, we know. And then somehow, like, we're like, really? Nick Foles is going to do this? And they had, that game against the Falcons where, like, they barely got past them. And then it was, you know, the Vikings were coming in to Philly. They had an amazing defense, Mike Zimmer's defense. There's no way Nick Foles is going to be able to navigate. And like the defense never got to the game. They just didn't show up. And it was at that point, I couldn't really believe that the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl. And I was going to the Super Bowl too, to like cover all of the shenanigans. And I just kept thinking to myself, there's no way that Nick Foles can beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in a Super Bowl? Are you kidding me? I also, of course, the Super Bowl when the Eagles finally get there is in Minneapolis in the winter. Are you kidding me? Like that it was so unbelievably cold. But that game and that stadium in general is really cool. It's one of my favorites actually in the entire NFL. Even though it's indoors, it just has like a really cool vibe. And clearly the vibe there that day was just next level. And I swear to God, when I walked in the stadium that day, we had done like an 8-hour pregame show or whatever. And when I walked in, that was like, I was done. I was finished. I made it. This is my off season. And it's like, let's go. And I remember walking in and the energy in the stadium was so different. Like it just felt like the Eagles were going to win. And I know that sounds crazy, but I felt like they knew it too. And walking around on the field and seeing them pregame on the sidelines and even just the coaching staff, everyone was so loose and just like chilling and laughing. And nobody was like looked stressed out or anything. And that's how the game played out too. It was wild.
The Philly special, right?
That is correct. Yeah.
I'm going to have to give you a hypothetical, Colleen.
Okay.
Because Kyle ran into this. Yeah. Eagles are in the Super Bowl. It's your best friend's wedding. Your best friend has their wedding on Super Bowl Sunday. Are you watching the Super Bowl or are you going to the wedding?
Well, see, I haven't
and your team is in the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, the Eagles. So Kay Wynn is a Niners fan and he gets invited to a wedding. I don't know how close you are, but Kay Wynn has to go to the wedding.
It's my girlfriend during the Super Bowl. It's my girlfriend's stepsister.
Wait, this is a real thing that happened to you?
Last year, I was watching the Super Bowl at a reception table with a Chiefs fan, like in the back on my phone. Like this.
No. Oh, that's awful. Yeah, see, I would have a really easy out because I would have to work. So I wouldn't be able to attend the wedding and that would cause some major issues. But I would let them know right up front when they set the date, like, look, hey, that's off limits. I can't be there for you. I'll send like a video or something though. So have fun, good luck. And I'm gonna catch the Super Bowl. But I can't believe that had to have been so stressful for you. And oh my God, the ending.
Well, at first I thought it was a joke. I'm like, you know, this is Super Bowl Sunday. Like, we're flying to Florida. Like, my flight might get lost somewhere and I might be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my God, that's crazy.
All right. We made it through it. I've done it all. New Year's wedding and now a Super Bowl wedding.
New Year's wedding, I feel like that's okay. As somebody who also got married on a Sunday, but I was Labor Day weekend. So not that New Year's Eve falls on a Sunday or anything, but I'm just thinking of odd days, holidays, whatever.
You allowed for the Monday morning hangover to be okay. That is crucial.
Exactly.
Colleen, my wife is a Kansas City native.
Oh, wow.
I would throw on my beanie, but Kyle would get after me for being a bandwagon fan because I have a Bills hat as well. Chiefs have the big three of Kelce, Mahomes, and Hill. We tried to rack our brains. I haven't seen anything like this in the way of a big three in the NFL ever, in my opinion. What's your take?
I'm trying to think if there's like, because everybody automatically goes to the Cowboys and like the triplets, but this is so different. I feel like because Kelce is a tight end, even though he is a wide receiver and he should get paid as a wide receiver, by the way.
I agree. Yes.
Honestly, I don't think so. And the fact that Mahomes is just so young still, it's so crazy to me that I think about it in terms of like the entire NFL and all of the things that need to go right in order for a team to succeed. And the stars really have to align for teams to not only get the right quarterback, but also have the pieces there for him to succeed. And then the coaching staff in place that's going to play to their strengths and everything else. So many things have to go right. And when teams are drafting, like it's such a crapshoot so many times and you never know really what you're going to get. And I just feel like the match between Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and then you add in all of the extras. It's just like a giant sundae with like every single topping you could ever want. And it's like, they just seem unstoppable. I feel like they're the next Patriots.
Yeah. Well, if you go back to week 12, when the Bucs played the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill had 200 yards and two touchdowns in one quarter.
How wild.
What is the Bucs D going to do differently, or what do you think they should do differently to see if they can try to contain him?
I don't know, because I heard him talking this week and Tyreek Hill was like, you know what? I just got tired of running around. I ran so much and I was able to be so productive that I just wanted to give myself a break. But I don't know what you do. Obviously, we saw that the defense needed way more help than they got against Tyreek Hill. And they're going to have to change a lot of different things. But what can they do? Because if you focus too much on Tyreek Hill, then Travis Kelce can turn around and have like 10 catches in no time. Like, it's nothing. So there's so many different ways that they can burn you. And the fact that he had that quarter back in week 12, it was unbelievable. And even in these playoff games, Tyreek Hill has been so good. Over 100 yards in each playoff game, 9 for 172 in the championship. And he had that crazy catch. It was like 70 yards or something. And just the way that he is always streaking down the field. He's so hard to defend. So yeah, they're gonna need a lot more help, and I'm not really sure how they divvy it up.
Colleen, have you ever played Madden's?
You know what? I feel like such a nerd because I never have.
Kyle calls it Madden's plural, yeah. Which okay.
I wasn't gonna correct you on it, but I heard it.
So I made the reference that Tyreek Hill has like an auto, like infinite turbo button. I feel like he's just that guy that's out there, the cheetah.
You know, I do know what a turbo button is, and also I'm looking at one of those game consoles right now that it's like an old school Nintendo with a Sega, and it has yeah. all of these preloaded games and stuff already on it, so you don't even have to go out and like buy any of them, so you can play Sonic, whatever you want. So I'm definitely not up to speed with like the current games that people are playing, but like I'm all about the old ones.
We'll have to bring you back on to see your progress in your dancing, and then and then if you're really good at NBA Jams, that's our other game we like to reference.
Wait a second, in the other room we have an NBA Jam.
Oh, who do you play with? Who's your team?
Oh my god. I usually go some version of Sixers, or like I like a Scottie Pippen situation yeah. a lot. Like he's really fun. I'll go with like any of like the Bulls as well. I don't know. I'm not really good at it, so I'm still trying to figure out like what is my team? Like what combination is going to work best for me?
That's right. It's the process. Trust the process.
It is.
The Bucks have won 7 straight, Colleen. What's been the biggest difference with Brady in the offense during the winning streak?
I think that it's so hard to put your finger on it, because I think just as the season has gone on, Brady has gotten more comfortable with the timing and his guys on the same page. But we also have seen like some moments where the Bucks don't look that great. Obviously late in the season, that's not the case. I think the running game has been a huge part of it. Whenever they're able to run the ball at all, that ends up helping everybody out. Ronald Jones is clearly their best runner, but Leonard Fournette, what a story. Playoff Lenny has
Playoff
been.
Lenny.
I mean, look at what he has been through and where he's come from. I mean, he was stuck in Jacksonville. Oh my goodness. And then
he looks more
sudden,
explosive now.
Yeah.
He looks so much better. It's like, it's like he was being held hostage and they finally freed him. And I love the fact that they're even using him a little in the passing game. And Leonard Fournette actually talked about that, how Tom Brady has made it a point all season long to work on different things with the running backs and have them run some routes and work on their pass catching skills. And that's been a big difference, I think, because that was always the case with Tom Brady. Like he loved to have running backs that caught the ball. And so that's what he likes here too. And the fact that he has so many different guys on this team, I look at both the Chiefs and both the Bucks, and when you talk about having the weapons to be able to keep up with the Chiefs and their firepower, I feel like the Bucks are probably the only team in the NFL that have the weapons that can do that. It's just a question of the interceptions yeah. and whether or not Brady will be affected by that again, because we know that Chris Jones can completely blow up a situation, and that offensive line has had some shuffling as well in Tampa Bay with Alex Kappa going down, and Aaron Stinney just got his first start a couple games ago. Was it last week or the week before? Maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm trying to all the games sort of run together, but I think that pressure. Obviously, we know how do you beat Tom Brady? You pressure him up the middle and you get him off a spot, and that honestly that's true. So I think that the biggest thing though for the Bucs during this win streak is just the confidence that the players have had in the trust, I think, that they have built up, and we're finally seeing it. And we talked so much about the lack of OTAs and an off season and Tom Brady spending 2 decades in New England and going to a different team at 42, 43 years old. And I think now we are finally seeing everything kind of come together and work.
I think I saw a stat where, is this, correct me if I'm wrong here, and we have an intern, so, and he's not that great. He's a grad he's a grad student.
Yeah, he just takes fireball shots and plays NBA Jam.
He sounds awesome.
He is pretty awesome. But is Brady, I think he's 3-1 when he throws three interceptions in playoff.
That sounds right.
Crazy to me. And then to your point, I think playoff Lenny may become Super Bowl Lenny. If you look at when the Patriots beat the Rams, I think James White had like 11 receptions, like 120 yards and a touchdown, which is crazy, right? In a Super Bowl, he was like the only dude scoring or doing anything.
Yeah,
he was like computer alone in NBA Jams. So I think there's going to be Super Bowl Lenny.
I could see that. I could see that for sure. And I'm, you know what? If there is, I'm calling it. He's averaging like over 100 scrimmage yards per game at this point in the playoffs with a touchdown in all their games. So I think that people kind of just assume that he is this power runner and that's kind of it. But I love to see him being used as a receiver. And I think he loves it too, because obviously it's working.
Yeah, it's working.
All right, Colleen, we're going to transition. I think you spent a birthday in Atlantic City.
Oh, prop many. Atlantic City, like, come on. That was my old stomping grounds.
So we've been to, is it the water club?
We got into you at Murmur then.
you know, here's a fun fact that not a lot of people know. I used to work at the Borgata. Ooh. Or like,
oh, that's our favorite spot.
That is. You might have seen us at the crabs table with Ed Lover.
I worked at the Borgata for like one weekend. Oh. And then I was like, absolutely not. I am out of here.